You know, you sit down, you open your laptop, you type your password, and boom, you're in.
Right. You just expect it to work.
Exactly. You pull up your email or maybe access some highly sensitive company database or log into an app that only your specific department uses.
Yeah, and you don't even think twice about it.
But really, who actually built that door? I mean, think about dealing with a massive global enterprise, like a bank with, say, 50,000 employees.
That's huge scale.
Right. How does an organization like that guarantee that the right people have the right keys while simultaneously keeping the wrong people out?
It's a logistical nightmare if you don't have the right systems.
So true. So today, we're taking a deep dive into this booming, completely invisible world. It's called Identity and Access Management, or IAM.
Yep, the backbone of modern corporate security.
And specifically, we're looking at a 2026 beginner's roadmap to a platform called SailPoint. This is based on some really detailed training materials from SailPoint Masters over in Hyderabad.
Which is great material, by the way. Very thorough.
It really is.
Mm.
So we're going to break down what this platform actually does, why the corporate world is throwing just billions of dollars at it, and how, you know, an IP pro can transition into this highly lucrative field.
And without needing to be some master coder either, which is the best part.
Exactly. So, okay, the scale of this digital key management, people are just blind to it.
Oh, completely. I mean, you type in your credentials and you expect that little loading screen to vanish in half a second.
Yeah.
But underneath that simple login box is this incredibly complex engine. We're talking about a whole industry here, Identity Governance and Administration, IGA.
IGA, right.
And the materials we're digging into today, they chart this very deliberate path for getting into this space, specifically through SailPoint, which has basically become the enterprise standard for managing all these digital
Okay,
identities.
let's unpack this before we map out the whole career path. We need to establish what this software actually is.
Good idea.
The sources describe SailPoint as an enterprise-level platform that manages digital identities. It automates user onboarding and tracks compliance.
Right.
So when I look at those functions, it honestly seems less like a standard security firewall and more like a, well, like a hybrid between an ultra-strict digital bouncer and a hyper-organized HR manager who literally never sleeps.
That is actually a perfect analogy. The bouncer part handles the access control, checking your ID at the
I'm
door.
sure you're on the list.
Exactly. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, the real enterprise value, the reason companies invest so heavily here is the governance side, the HR manager side.
Because just knowing someone's ID is valid isn't enough anymore.
Not even close. You have to
Yeah.
know precisely who authorized that ID. Like, why was it granted in the first place?
And do they still need it?
Yes. Does the person holding it still need those specific permissions today based on their current role?
Which totally explains the industries driving this demand. The sources highlight financial institutions, healthcare networks, insurance companies, I mean, government departments.
Yeah, organizations that hold the most sensitive data imaginable.
Right. We're talking about places holding our bank routing numbers, our personal medical histories.
And the massive surge in demand for these platforms, it really comes down to a global tightening of cybersecurity regulations.
Because the fines are just massive now.
Oh, enormous financial penalties if they mishandle that data. Think about how compliance used to work before platforms like SailPoint existed.
I can only imagine. Just spreadsheets everywhere.
Literally, preparing for an audit meant IT departments had to manually export logs from dozens of different systems, then cross-reference them with HR spreadsheets.
What a nightmare.
And somehow prove to an auditor that out of, say, 30,000 employees, absolutely nobody had inappropriate access. It was chaotic, just an error-prone mess.
So SailPoint replaces that manual scramble.
Exactly. It automates the governance. It provides a real-time, mathematically verifiable trail of every single digital identity inside the whole company.
Okay, so if the problem is that massive, and the tool is that critical to avoiding these millions in compliance fines, who is actually qualified to build and manage it?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right, because the 2026 guide outlines the target audience for this training, and it's surprisingly broad.
It really is.
It's pitched at fresh graduates, so degrees like BTech or computer science, but it heavily targets existing IT professionals looking to transition.
Yeah, people currently working in Java development or software testing.
Technical support, cloud admin, stuff like that.
The transition market is huge here because SailPoint remains a highly specialized niche. There just aren't enough seasoned IAM professionals out there to meet the corporate demand.
So they're desperate.
Pretty much. Companies are incredibly willing to cross-train people who already understand the basics of IT infrastructure.
Okay, but wait, here's where it gets really interesting, and I have to push back a little bit. If I am managing the literal enterprise security for a global bank, shouldn't I need to be an absolute master coder from day one? I mean, writing custom rules to automate access to financial databases sounds like hardcore coding.
I get why you'd think that. It sounds counterintuitive, but advanced programming is rarely the bottleneck in identity governance.
Really? Calling it business logic just feels like a semantic trick to lure in non-coders.
It's not a trick, I promise. The source material aggressively tackles this exact misconception. You have to remember, you aren't building a security platform from scratch.
Okay, that's fair.
You are configuring a powerful pre-existing engine. The required skills listed before starting the training are basic Java, SQL fundamentals, some XML, and an understanding of servers.
Notice the word basic, though.
Right, but the guide explicitly mentions workflow development using Bean Shell scripting. How is that not hardcore coding? Well, Bean Shell is essentially a lightweight scripting version of Java. Think of it as glue code.
Glue code.
Yeah. You aren't writing the core provisioning engine that securely connects to Active Directory. You're writing a localized rule.
Like an if-then statement.
Exactly. A rule that says, if this user's HR profile says finance manager, then trigger this specific access request. The heavy lifting in SailPoint is logical reasoning.
Okay, so it's about understanding how the massive corporation actually operates.
Yes, how different departments interact, how to structure a logical workflow without creating a huge systemic bottleneck.
Right.
The syntax of the script is totally secondary to the architecture of the business rule.
Okay, I can see the distinction there. It's the difference between building the engine and just steering the car.
Perfect way to put it.
So, since the focus is on business logic rather than writing thousands of lines of raw code, what are these professionals actually building day to day? Let's get under the hood of these training modules.
Let's do it.
The cornerstone of the technical training revolves around user lifecycle management, specifically the joiner, mover, lever workflows, JML.
JML. Yep, the
Yeah.
core of it all.
For you listening, you probably know this cycle intuitively in your own career. You get hired, you change jobs internally, and eventually you leave. It's like the corporate circle of life.
Right. Everyone understands the human aspect of getting hired or fired. But what the SailPoint professional manages is the invisible technical architecture tracking those transitions across thousands of applications simultaneously.
Let's break that down mechanically then. The joiner phase seems straightforward enough. Day one, you need an email account, access to the corporate intranet.
Maybe a specific software license to actually do your job.
Right. So joiner is just getting your keys.
The joiner phase is purely about productivity, reducing the time a new hire spends staring at a blank screen waiting for IT to grant them access.
We've all been there. It's the worst.
But what's fascinating here is that the next two phases, mover and lever, are entirely about mitigating severe security risks.
Okay, right. The mover phase. You get promoted, or maybe you transfer from, say, the ER to pediatrics in a hospital.
Good example.
Your access needs to shift so you get your new permissions. But the trap here is that people tend to just accumulate access, don't they? Like they keep the old keys.
Yes. The technical term for that is privilege creep.
Privilege creep. That sounds ominous.
It is. If that nurse moves from the ER to pediatrics, they need access to the pediatric floor's medical records. But if the system doesn't simultaneously revoke their access to the ER's records.
They now hold unnecessary data privileges.
Exactly. Over 5 or 10 years, an employee moving through a company can accumulate dangerous levels of access. That's why the training heavily emphasizes role-based access control, RBAC.
Okay, explain how RBAC actually solves that mechanically.
Yeah.
Because trying to track 50 individual app permissions for 50,000 employees sounds impossible.
It is impossible if you do it individually. RBAC solves this by bundling permissions into a singular role object.
So you don't assign the nurse 50 different application rights.
Nope. You assign them the pediatric nurse role. All the necessary permissions are tied to that one role.
Ah, I see.
When HR updates their title from ER nurse to pediatric nurse, the SailPoint engine simply swaps the role. The ER permissions automatically drop off, and the pediatric permissions instantly apply.
That is so clean. It mathematically prevents privilege creep because Access is tied directly to a defined business function.
Exactly. Which leaves the final phase, the lever.
Right.
You quit or you retire or get fired.
And this is where the massive enterprise security breaches happen, isn't it?
Absolutely. Orphaned accounts belonging to ex-employees are prime targets for hackers because nobody is monitoring them anymore.
They're basically open windows.
Yep. So the SailPoint professional configures the system so that the absolute second an employee's status changes to terminated in the HR system.
Boom. A kill switch is flipped.
A total kill switch. Every single application tied to that identity is instantly locked.
But wait, what about the access that isn't cleanly tied to a role? Things change, temporary projects pop up. How does the system catch permissions that slip through the cracks?
That's a great question. The guide mentions a module called Access Certifications.
Access Certifications. What's that?
They are the automated answer to those massive compliance audits we talked about earlier. Enterprises rely on these campaigns to force departmental managers to periodically review their team's access.
Oh, so it just bugs the managers?
Basically, the SailPoint developer configures a workflow that essentially nags them. It sends them a dashboard showing everything their employees can access and forces them to actively click approve or revoke.
And if they click revoke,
SailPoint automatically triggers the code to remove that access. It shifts the liability from the IT department back to the business managers who actually know what their employees should be doing.
Wow. Okay, so the mechanics of Joint Removal Lever, RBAC, and access certifications, they all make total logical sense when we talk about them.
Yeah, on paper, it's very clean.
But understanding the concept of a workflow on paper doesn't mean you can actually build one without crashing a company's network. And the materials spend a lot of time warning students about what they call the practicality trap.
The practicality trap. Yeah, the gap between theoretical knowledge and practical execution is the single biggest filter in the tech industry.
People just reading the book and thinking they're experts.
Exactly. Beginners read the documentation, watch some recorded video sessions without ever touching the actual software, and assume they understand how the system behaves.
The guide specifically calls out certifications here. It mentions popular ones like the Identity IQ certification, which is SailPoint's on-premise solution.
And the Identity Security Cloud certification, which is their newer SaaS product.
Right. But the text explicitly warns that passing a multiple choice exam and getting paper certified guarantees absolutely nothing when it comes to actually getting a job.
Zero guarantee. Because employers don't care if you can define a term. They care if you can fix a broken process. Real world identity management is super messy.
So what does this all mean for someone actually shopping for a training course? How do they avoid becoming paper certified but practically useless?
Well, the training materials emphasize that during technical interviews, companies will test your troubleshooting ability on live components, like the provisioning engine.
Okay, let's define that really quick. What is the provisioning engine actually doing in this context?
Think of the provisioning engine as the mechanical translator between SailPoint and the target application.
Okay.
So if SailPoint decides a user needs a Microsoft Exchange email account, the provisioning engine reaches out, translates that command into Microsoft's specific language, and physically creates the account.
So what happens when that connection fails?
That's the real world right there. The new hire sits idle, or worse, the terminated employee retains access. And that's exactly what an interviewer will ask you.
Like a scenario question.
Yep. They'll say, the connector to our main database broke during a lever workflow. Walk me through the logs you check and the script you use to force the revocation.
Oh, wow. So if your training was just clicking through slides?
You're toast. If you haven't been forced to build access request workflows and run mock certification campaigns in a sandbox environment, you will freeze. You cannot fake troubleshooting a broken provisioning engine.
That heavily dictates how a beginner should choose a training program then. The source provides a really clear checklist for this.
It does. It's very practical.
It says the trainers must have live, current enterprise project experience, not just academic backgrounds. The program has to include mock interviews with scenario-based discussions.
And most importantly, hands-on configuration experience is non-negotiable.
Right. Whether you choose online learning for the flexibility or classroom learning for the direct interaction, you have to get your hands dirty building these actual connections.
The entire philosophy of the beginner roadmap provided in the text revolves around surviving those exact technical interviews by building a foundation of practical execution.
So let's look at how they actually sequence that learning. If the biggest trap is learning theory without practice, how does a beginner safely build those skills?
Slowly and methodically.
Yeah, the source outlines a very specific 7-step beginner learning roadmap. Step 1 is understanding basic IAM fundamentals. Step 2 is learning the specific SailPoint architecture.
Step 3 is practicing installation and configuration.
Then Step 4 covers the lifecycle concepts, the joiner, mover, lever cycle we just discussed. Step 5 gets into workflows, rules, and that bean shell scripting.
Step 6 is project-based implementation scenarios. And finally, Step 7 is preparing for technical interviews and certifications.
I gotta point out how structured this is. It's not a get-rich-quick tech scheme. It's a methodical process. But I was actually gonna ask about the order here.
What about it?
Why is the lifecycle concept the core business logic of joiner, mover, lever pushed all the way back to Step 4? Shouldn't that business logic be the very first thing you learn?
It's a fair question, but the progression is highly intentional. You have to understand the pipes before you worry about the water flowing through them.
Oh, I see.
If you don't know how the SailPoint architecture actually stores an identity, or how to configure the basic connections to an HR database in Step 3,
then understanding the theory of a mover doesn't actually help you build it.
Exactly. You have to build the foundational environment first. Once the environment is stable, then you introduce the lifecycle rules.
Makes sense.
And only after those rules are defined do you jump into Step 5, which is writing the custom bean shell scripts to automate the weird edge cases. It prevents the learner from getting totally overwhelmed by complex automation before they even know how the software installs.
That makes total sense. It demands consistent practice. There's no fast-forward button.
Nope, none.
But the career outcomes seem to really justify that slow, deliberate effort. The text lists resulting roles like SailPoint developer, IAM engineer, access governance analyst.
Identity governance consultant is another big one.
And because this is a specialized domain tackling a universal corporate problem, the international opportunities are just massive.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah, organizations across the US, UK, Canada, the UAE, Singapore, Europe, they are all aggressively recruiting.
That geographic spread really highlights that regulatory compliance isn't just a regional issue, it's a global mandate. Every major corporation on Earth has to prove who has access to their data.
Let's talk about compensation, too. Because anytime a tech sector booms, the salary numbers just get wildly exaggerated.
Oh, yeah. The hype gets out of control.
But I appreciate that the training guide is quite grounded about this. It notes that entry-level professionals generally start with standard IT salary packages. But the compensation grows rapidly as you acquire hands-on project experience.
Simply because there are so few people who can untangle a complex provisioning engine failure in real time.
Exactly. And the text explicitly warns against any training program making overnight get-rich-quick salary promises.
It is a long-term career play. The real draw here isn't necessarily an inflated starting salary. It's the long-term career stability.
Right, because the problem isn't going away.
Exactly. Identity governance isn't a fading tech fad or some temporary software trend. Corporations will always have employees joining, moving, and leaving. Data privacy regulations are only going to become more punitive. The invisible infrastructure securing those digital keys is just a permanent fixture of the global economy now.
Wow. We have covered some incredibly dense, but just fascinating territory today.
We really have.
We started by demystifying identity governance and administration, understanding how SailPoint acts as that automated HR manager tracking your digital keys.
The digital bouncer.
The digital bouncer.
Yeah.
We dismantled the myth that you need to be a master programmer to enter this field. We saw how logical reasoning and business workflow design take precedence over raw coding.
Which is huge for people looking to transition.
Then we broke down the mechanics of the joiner mover lever cycle and how role-based access control mathematically prevents that dangerous privilege creep.
And we can't forget the practicality trap.
Right. Proving why hands-on troubleshooting in a sandbox environment is literally the only way to survive a technical interview, and how following that 7-step roadmap leads to a real career.
You know, the materials offer a remarkably clear, pragmatic blueprint for entering the cybersecurity space.
They do.
But analyzing this core reliance on human-designed workflows, setting up those access rules, designing the roles it leads to, a rather unsettling question about where this industry is heading next.
Unsettling. Unsettling how?
Well, think about it. The current paradigm relies entirely on human logic. A human developer configures the joiner, mover, lever rules. A human manager clicks approve during an access certification campaign.
Right, there's always a person in the loop.
But enterprise networks are becoming too large and way too fast for human oversight. As organizations inevitably integrate advanced machine learning into these identity platforms to handle the sheer volume of access requests, we are crossing a major threshold.
Okay.
What happens in the near future when the software stops waiting for a manager's approval? When the system itself begins autonomously deciding who is trusted enough to access a company's most sensitive secrets?
Wow. If the digital bouncer starts writing its own rules, the definition of corporate security completely changes.
Exactly. Who's guarding the guards?
That is definitely something to think about the next time you sit down at your desk, type in your password, and wait for that little loading wheel to decide if you still have the keys to the castle.